Well, thank you for being here. It's encouraging to me as a family pastor to know that there are families who want to make the most of the children's ministries, and it's encouraging to me that we have children's workers who are here and who are committed and eager to be a part of things like this. It's also encouraging to me that our elders and our pastor would be excited to cancel adult Sunday school. You know, we usually have Sunday school during these first hour and second hour, and they were excited about emphasizing the family ministries, children's ministries that we have, and so they were happy to do that. So I just think that's a reflection of their commitment to the families of our church and to children's ministries, and I know that encourages me, and I hope that encourages you as well. My hope today is that as we spend some time together, that you come away with a couple things. I want you to know, first off, what we do as children's ministries. I'd like for you to be aware of all the different things that are going on and to learn some of the practical things that will help you be involved in those, like which room do my kids go to and what time are they supposed to be there, and those types of things. I also want you to know why we do what we do. You know, there's a method to our madness. There's a reason why we emphasize what we emphasize and structure things the way that we do, and I think it's helpful for you to understand that. And then I want you to know how you as a family can make the most of those particular opportunities that we have. You do have a children's ministry booklet. You've never seen this. They just came in yesterday. I'm glad they came in yesterday as opposed to today or tomorrow, because I wanted you to have that. This has a lot of the content that we're going to talk about this morning is in this booklet. Not all of it, but I encourage you later to read it. Not now, but later. And well, you've already been to the service probably, so you can't read it during the service. But this afternoon, take some time to look through this or in the week ahead, and you'll find a lot of other helpful information. And I'll refer to some of that as we go. I want to start this morning. On the front cover of that booklet, there's a verse that really helps define why we do what we do, what our vision is for our children's ministries. And it's Psalm 78, verse 4, and it says this, "But tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wondrous works that He has done." What God is saying in that verse for us is that He desires for the next generation to see His glory as He has revealed it in His Word. God wants the next generation, those little ones, to grow up with an understanding of who God is and the incredible things that God has done on their behalf, that they would come to know Him and His character and live in light of who God is. And you know, really, for your children and my children, there is nothing more important in their development than their development of their view of God. You know, do children start off with the right view of God? You know, you think of young kids and you talk to them about God, and it's like, who's God? You know, we pray to God at meals, and so they maybe think that God is the table or something, because we all look down at the table. And so maybe the table is God. You know, what is it that, who is this God that we are talking about? And those kids, their view of God is going to grow and mature and develop, and having a right view of Him is perhaps the most important thing for them. A.W. Tozer has written a book called The Knowledge of the Holy, and it's not a children's book, but it's a helpful book, and he says this about a person's view of God. He says that the most portentous, which is a big word that I had to look up that means important, the most important fact about any man is not what he at a given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. I think he's right. That the most important thing for people is not simply the external actions that they do, not simply the things that they say or how they perform or behave on an outward appearance, but it's what is going on in their heart, particularly what is their view and understanding of God as they have understood Him. And you guys, that's so important for kids. You know, think, if a child does not have an accurate view of God, are they going to have an accurate view of themselves? No, it's essential that they know who God is and what He's like so they can see themselves rightly. If they see that, you know, God is holy and powerful, then they can rightly come to see themselves as one who God created and loves, but one who is a sinner and one who is guilty before a holy God. And when they see God rightly and themselves rightly, then they can understand the gospel rightly. And it can make sense why Jesus had to come and live a perfect life and die for their sin. Yes, but if they don't know that God, what God is like, is that going to make sense to them? No. It's not. And so foundational for children is an understanding of God that leads to an understanding of themselves, which leads to the gospel. And only then will those children respond with a love for God and a gratitude for what He has done. Yes, a right view of God, it has an amazing impact on those kids. Psalm 78 goes on after verse 4, which is on the cover of your booklet. And it talks about the result of that view of God. As kids see the glory of God, it says, verse 7, that then they should put their confidence or their hope in God. And they should not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Right view of God leads those kids to have faith in Him, in who He is, and then to obedience. Yes, but we as parents can get it backwards, and we can so emphasize obedience with our kids and fail to help them see who God is, can't we? And your kids might obey because mom and dad make them, or they obey because it's expected of them, but they don't obey because of who God is and what He has done. And so it's so important that we as parents and as children's ministry, help the next generation see the glory of God as revealed in the Word of God. You guys, that's really our hope. That's my hope for our children's ministries, is that those kids who come and are involved in the different programs that we'll talk about in a bit, that they see God exalted, they see His glory as He is revealed in His Word. In Psalm 78, the context that we don't have time this morning to look at, it's God's Word that we are to teach those kids so that they see who He is clearly. And that's our hope. But it's more than that, because if you look at Psalm 78 in the context, it's really making reference to the fact that that's something that families are to be teaching their kids. Psalm 78, in the middle, it talks about that He commanded that our fathers should teach them to their children. It's fathers who should be the ones who are exhorting their families and parents that are teaching their kids those things about the glory of God. And so really, it's our hope as children's ministries, not simply to teach kids about God ourselves, but to assist parents in helping the next generation see the glory of God as revealed in the Word of God. That's my hope, is that for you as parents, that you will see our children's ministries as something that comes alongside you, that encourages you and complements your ministry of helping the next generation come to see God clearly and understand His Word. Now, what is it that you as parents can do, before we get into our children's ministries, what is it that you as parents can do to help your children see the glory of God? What's your role in that? I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning, just briefly as we consider what it is that God has entrusted for you to do with your kids, and then we'll look at how our children's ministries can help you in those different roles that God has given you. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1, says this: Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Then verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Yes, this passage in Deuteronomy is one of the most critical passages in all the Old Testament for the Jews. It gave them their primary theology about God, that God is one. It gave them what God expects of them, that they love God with their whole heart. And it gave them really the framework for how they were to pass that truth along to the next generation. This was it for them. This is what God really wanted them to do. And as it describes for us, it's saying this is how you help your kids see God. Verse 2, what was the result that they were going for? That the sons and the grandsons would fear the Lord their God. That's what Psalm 78 was talking about as well. That they see God clearly and have an awe and a reverence and a respect for Him. And this passage gives really three things that you as parents and I as a parent can do to help that be true of our kids. The first thing is through our example. We help our kids see God clearly by the way that we live. Or we help our kids see a muddled view of God by the way that we live. It starts off in verse 1 and talks about how the parents are to be obedient to the commands. If we just talk to our kids about the things of God, but we do not live out those things ourselves, our kids are not going to see a clear picture of God. There was a song when I was in high school, a Christian song, that talked about how your life is speaking so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. You know, that's going to be true for us as parents, that we can talk to our kids, but our life is screaming so much louder by the way that we live that they don't hear what we say. And so our example is so important. And that comes in verse 6. It talks about how those commandments are to be on our hearts as parents. So it's not that we say, well, gee, I really want my kids to learn to be obedient, and so I better be on my best behavior around my kids. You know, isn't that easy as parents to do? You know, kids change your life in a thousand ways, don't they? You know, when you go from not having kids to having kids, your whole world's turned upside down. And one thing that people often think is, well, gee, now I got to be mature and responsible. I got to act right so that my kids see that. You can't do that, can you? You can't just flip a switch and say, now I'm going to be obedient to the things of God. He says it's as these words are on your heart. As you love God as a parent, as you are filling your life with the Word of God and being faithful and obedient to God, that's when you're going to be an example to your kids. And that's so important for your kids to see who God is. But it's more than that. It's not just your example. It's also then through what you say. Verse 7 said, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. There's a formal instruction that parents are to be giving their kids, isn't there? It's not just their example, but then this is what we are going to teach our kids. We're going to communicate to our kids, and we'll talk more about how we can help you do that in a bit. But then it's also through your informal interaction. Isn't that amazing how verse 7 continues? When do you talk to your kids? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Does that leave much other time? Not too much. Saying all the time in life, we are to be talking with our children about those things of God, about His commandments, about His character, about who He is. Goes on and says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Go home and write scripture on your walls with Sharpie or something. Now, it's saying you should fill your life with the Word of God so that your kids are not seeing individual snapshots of the scriptures, but their whole life is a movie that depicts what it means to obey God, to love Him, and to serve Him. It's not just that, we spend a little bit of time talking with our kids about God, but it's our whole life should be teaching them. You know, so when you're stuck in traffic on the way to church and you're going to be late, that's when you're teaching your kids about how you view God. You know, if you're angry and upset and, how can this happen to me? What are people going to think of us? Or if you trust God and you are talking to them about how God's in control even of those things. Or if you had a great day planned with your kids, we're going to go to Six Flags today or go to a baseball game or go to the park, and it rains. And you say, I can't believe it's raining today. How awful is that we don't get to do this? You know, you're grumbling. But what are you teaching them about God? Well, apparently He doesn't control the rain, or else He's not very nice to you because He rained out your fun day. No, but if you teach Him, well, God must have other plans for us today because God's the one who's in control of this. Those times of interaction are what teach our kids so powerfully. And, you know, those times of interaction are particularly hard for us as dads. You know, as I watch my wife, she's great at that, at making the most of the opportunity with our girls to visit with them about scriptural things, to be directing their hearts to God. I saw a cartoon that kind of made this point. It was a Baby Blue cartoon. You know, if you ask a mom, kid comes up, where do birds go in the winter? What's a mom's response? You know, it's, that's a great question, sweetie. We can, you know, get online and look it up, or we can go to the library, and maybe we could get a bird feeder to hang in the backyard, and we'll watch the birds come in the spring, and then we'll watch them go in the winter. And, you know, if you ask a dad, where do birds go in the winter? What do dads say? That way. Right? That's how we're different that way, aren't we? Our wives are so good for so many of us at interacting with children and talking with them about those things. But the scriptures say dads, fathers, we're to be communicating with our kids that way. So dads, we got to work extra hard just to talk to our kids, to interact well with them, but then to do so about those things that God has revealed about Himself in His Word. So dads, work hard at that. You know, when your kid asks you today, where do birds go? Give them a longer answer than just that way. And I need to work on that too. Yes, we have a challenging and a critical role as parents to be an example to our kids, to instruct our kids, to interact with them in a way that they see and understand who God is as it's reflected in our life. That can be a daunting task, but thankfully we're not alone in that. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a lot of helpful tools and resources for those families. They had different feasts and festivals, didn't they? Things that were in place, like the Passover, that were pretty much step by step. Parents, this is how you can teach your kids about God. You know, color in this number, letter here kind of thing. You know, step by step, easy for parents to get their hands around what they should do. And for us, in the New Testament, God has given us a lot of helpful things as well. And primarily, it's through the body of Christ as we encourage one another and come alongside one another, encouraging each other as parents, but also as our church has a children's ministry that can come and be a blessing to you in that. But don't think that you can just turn your kids over to church or to children's ministry and that it's going to be fine. Look at Judges chapter 2 real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but very fascinating passage to me. In Judges 2, it's fascinating. After that, God gave those commands in Deuteronomy 6. That was when Moses was the leader of the nation. And after Moses died, Joshua was the leader and was a faithful, godly leader. And then after he died, Judges records what happened. It says this in verse 7. Judges 2, 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the hill country of his inheritance. Verse 10 says, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. You know what I think happened? It wasn't that they stopped doing all the formal things. They probably still did most of their feasts and festivals, and they still did the external things that God had told them to do. But I think the parents of that next generation lost a little bit of being captivated by God, and so they stopped talking to their kids all the time. They stopped being an example to their kids, and that's where it broke down with that next generation who rose up who did not know the Lord. And so it's easy for you or for me as a parent to think, well, I'm just taking my kids to all those formal opportunities that they have at church. They're involved in Sunday school and Awana, and they go to Vacation Bible School, and they're learning about God there in those formal ways. And yet if we are not faithful as well, those things will have a limited impact on our kids because they're seeing a totally different perspective of God outside of those things. Yeah, so the informal interaction with kids is so critical for you and for me as parents. You know, even on top of those formal times, if you spend 10, 15, 20 minutes with your kids talking to them about the scriptures, that's great. Do that. But then if the rest of the day you never live or refer to anything related to that, you think that's going to really have a significant impact on your kids? No, it's about that time of our life lived out before them and interacting with them. It's a great book called Everyday Talk, Talking Freely and Naturally About God with Your Children. That's really helpful on just how you can put those things into practice in a practical way. How you can talk freely with your kids all the time so that it's not just the formal instructions. We happen to have a bunch of these on the back table, by coincidence. And they're available today for a special discounted rate of $5. And so really encourage you to pick up one of these today. If you don't have one, if your family doesn't have a copy of this, grab one and read it, especially dads. Read this book, and it'll be so helpful in just how you can, some simple ways to interact well with your kids in talking with them about spiritual things. Usually $9 in the bookstore, which is still a good price, but $5 today. You want to get one of those while you have the opportunity. Great book. So we as a children's ministry then, if that's your role as parents, we want to come alongside and help you in that. We want to see Deuteronomy 6 applied in the families of our church. We want to help you do those things. Help you be an example to your kids. We want to help you give formal instruction to your kids and help you have godly interaction with your kids. How do we do that? We do that first off by offering a variety of ministries for children and families. And we offer things for your kids that we hope will help you in your task as parents and be a blessing to you, that they will complement your ministry. And we'll talk more about these as we go, but one example would be our Sunday school. You know, some of you might think, man, I'm just not good at teaching, much less teaching little kids about God and His character. You know, I can't do all those creative things that I see Sunday school teachers do, you know, where they dress up all funny and they use different voices. That's just not me. Well, you could probably grow at that, but we also have a great group of Sunday school teachers who can do that. And so they're going to teach your kid a Bible story on Sunday morning. And now you have a responsibility on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to talk with your kid about the Bible. What would be a good story that you could talk with them about maybe on Monday? Maybe what they learned on Sunday, right? You could go over that with them again, and they've already heard it, and they've got the picture of, you know, their Sunday school teacher doing this crazy thing to help them remember that. But now you can fill in the gaps, and you can talk more individually with them about that. Now, we want our ministries to be a launching pad for interaction with your kids about the things of God. The Ride Home is a great time to do that, to begin that process. So you're talking with them about those things, and you're filing away those lessons that they're learning. You know, so if one week they learn a lesson about how Jesus calmed the storm, well, the next time it rains and it's a big storm, what would be a great thing to talk to your kids about? Well, that lesson they learned 6 weeks ago about how Jesus calmed the storm and had power over the storm, and that's a key time to talk about that. But if you don't know that they talked about that 6 weeks ago, are you going to necessarily think of that? Maybe not. And so we want our ministries to help you and be a blessing that way. We also want to offer a variety of resources for you to help. As we want to encourage you and equip you to do that role that God's entrusted to you well. Well, I want to just walk through those things and give you a better picture of how that works in your family and some practical details about the ministries that we offer. You can follow along somewhat in the booklet, although, again, I'm not going to cover everything that's in there, and I'll cover some things that are not. But the first ministry that I want to talk about is our nursery ministry. We have a great infant and toddler nursery ministry. Our nursery director, coordinator, is Candace Pruitt. I don't know if she's in here this hour. She got called away prior to the nursery. And so we have infant and toddler care during every regular service that we have and some other times as well. One of the things that this can be a blessing for you in is that it allows parents to focus on personal growth. We hope that by allowing you to be in a class without your young kids or to be in the service without your young kids, that you can really focus on your own personal growth, which helps you then be an example for your kids, and it helps you in those times of instruction. We want to give you an opportunity to learn as much as you can and to be impacted as much as you can while you are here at church, and our nursery does that. But it's more than just child care. It's not just that, oh, we don't want the kids with you, and so we'll stick them somewhere. It's the first opportunity that we have as a church, as children's ministries, to communicate to those children that there are other people besides mom and dad who love them, and they love them because they have a love for Christ. And so we desire to provide a safe and secure environment, a loving, caring environment for those little ones. And we also desire to begin teaching them about the truths of who God is, even at those young ages. If you have a child in the toddler nursery or have had recently, and you ask them, the Bible is, what would they say? True, right? Good job. Yeah, the Bible is true. That's what they begin to learn that in the toddler nursery. We remind them that over and over and over and over and over, because that's how little kids learn. And then we begin to teach them more and more things about God and His character. And we also begin to introduce them to more formal class structures. You can peer in the toddler nursery at different times and see kids sitting on their little mats singing and learning, and that's getting them ready to learn in more formal settings, whether at home or at church. So we want to encourage and begin our ministry to them at that young age. We also offer a preschool ministry or a Sunday school ministry. Our Sunday school ministry is based around our Generations of Grace curriculum that we use. It's a great curriculum that teaches an overview of the Bible in about 3 to 4 years. Goes through the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're in the book of Acts right now, and then we'll finish the New Testament this semester, and then we'll start up in Genesis next semester. And it's a great curriculum that's age-appropriate for preschool kids, and then they hear the same stories again as they go through elementary school because they've matured a lot since then and can grasp a lot more. And so that really forms the basis of our Sunday school ministry. It's really a time focused around them learning about the Word of God, more so probably than any other ministry that we offer. And so for preschool, we offer 2 different hours of preschool Sunday school, first and second hour for all the kids. A lot of kids come to both services. They don't have to, but a lot do. And so if your child comes to first hour and then they come stay through second hour, then they're going to be exposed to the same truth all morning that's going to be reinforced throughout the day. It's a unified curriculum that they study. However, we do offer some distinct programs between first and second hour. And that's just to help them not get, you know, they're hearing the same content, but it's presented in a different way. It's a different flavor of ministry for them. First hour, our children are in a classroom for the whole time, one room with 2 teachers, who do every different role with them. So they teach the lesson, they do the activities with them, they sing with them. All those things take place within one class. Those teachers do it all. Second hour, we have classroom shepherds who take those children from their homeroom and from some activities there to a variety of other stations. So they go to a lesson station where Evan and Sarah Ramos back here. Everybody say hi, Evan and Sarah. They teach a creative Bible lesson to them at that station. They go to another station where they do music. And so it's just a little different program that emphasizes the same truth for those kids, but it gives them something different to do. So we offer both of those, and those new classes start next week. If you look in the back of your booklet, there's a map that says Sunday morning locations. Grab that real quick. If you have preschool kids, you have a map that shows you which classes they're in. Our classes are designated from A through H, and then we have a kindergarten class. If you haven't picked one up yet, afterwards today, you can pick up a yellow sheet like this over at the preschool children's Sunday school table, and it'll tell you, if your kids have been with us before, you can find their name, and it'll tell you which class they're in, and who their first hour teacher is, and who their second hour shepherd will be. You can pick that up. If you're not on that list, they can still come. You just gotta figure out from the little chart where they would be. And it's probably our oversight that they're not on that list. But our rooms, as you can see up here, I don't think these are on your map. Our rooms go in kind of a horseshoe shape. So you see A down at the bottom, A, B, C, D, and then E, F, G, H, and the kindergarten class back over by B. That's an age order. So A is the youngest class. You'll notice that A doesn't even exist yet. That's because those young kids are still in the toddler nursery, and mid-year we'll promote them out of the toddler nursery into that A class. So right now, if your kid is just barely two, they'd be in that B class, and then their older twos would be C, and then the threes would be D, E, and so on, and then the older fours, and then the kindergarten class in M23. So you can look at that map and see where your kids will be, and pick up that sheet over at the table and see where which class and teachers they'll be with this year. For primary Sunday school, we offer also first hour and second hour Sunday school ministries for children in primary grades. First hour, again, is a little different than second hour for a couple of different reasons. In first hour, all the classes are specific to the grade that the child is in. Again, on your map, you can see the first hour classes, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and then fifth and sixth grade is a little different in that we combine those, but we separate them by gender. So we have a fifth and sixth grade boys class and a fifth and sixth grade girls class. These classes study the same Generations of Grace story that the preschool kids study, and so they're exposed to that same truth on an age-appropriate level. Second hour, we have two different classes. One is for first to third graders, and one is for fourth to sixth graders. A lot of primary kids only attend 1 hour, although a number of first to third graders attend both. And so that first to third grade class is designed as both a standalone class for kids, but also as a class to help transition them into going with their family into the worship service. And so it kind of has a dual purpose, but your kid could come just for that hour, or they could come first hour and then stay for that class second hour. That class takes the main theme that was presented first hour and builds on it and elaborates on it for those kids. The fourth to sixth grade class is a new class that we're just starting this year. Lee and Camille Austin, where are Lee and Camille? There's Lee and Camille, are the directors for that class. They've been working in children's ministries for a number of years, do a great job. Thrilled that they'll be taking that class. That class is not designed for kids to go first hour and then come to their class second hour. It's an either-or kind of thing. You can decide which is best for your family, to attend the first hour Sunday school class or for those kids to attend a second hour class. And if they attend a second hour class, it'll be the fourth to sixth grade class with Lee and Camille. It'll be a great thing. They use the same Generations of Grace curriculum and have similar activities. We do that. We don't want those fourth to sixth graders coming both hours, because we think it's very important that children attend worship with their families. You know, we talked about the example that parents can set for their kids, and they do that throughout the week at home, but one great opportunity for you as parents to be an example for your kids is in the worship service. Because your kids are sitting there, and they can see mom and dad, and they can see how passionate you are about worshiping and singing and praising the Lord. They can see how attentive you are as you're listening to the sermon and learning and growing. Your kids see that modeled, and that's one of the best ways for them to see your commitment to Christ. And so we think it's very important that those kids learn to attend service with you and have that modeled. And so I'd encourage you, with your elementary age kids, as soon as they're ready and able to sit through that service with you, to get them in there with you, use that first to third grade class as a transition for them You don't have to keep them in there all the way up through third grade, but as long as it's necessary, and then get them plugged into the service with you so that you can worship together as a family. Those primary classes do start up new classes next week. You can see on your map there where those rooms are located. I'll just give you a little overview. First hour, if your kids go to first hour Sunday school class, first, second, and third graders are all going to be in the south building, in S4 for first, S6 for second grade, and S3 for third. Fourth, fifth, and sixth graders will all be in the north building. So you have fourth grade and then five, fifth and sixth guys, and then three and fifth and sixth girls over and in two. In second hour, if your kids are involved in the second hour Sunday school ministry, they will all be in the south building. Fourth and fifth will be over in S3, and first through third will be in S5 and S6 combined. That room opens up to a big room. So that's where you'll find your kids, and you can take them next week with our new Sunday school classes starting. And again, you'll have a chance to meet some of those teachers if you haven't already in just a little bit. Our Sunday night ministry is our Awana ministry. It's a great time. Starts tonight, actually, at 5:50. We have clubs for three-year-olds all the way up through high school, actually. And Sunday night ministry really has an emphasis, Awana, on scripture memorization. Those kids that are involved in Awana will work through a book that the club will have for them, where they memorize different verses for sections each week. And they come to the club and then can say those verses. Great opportunity, for parents to work with their kids on those verses. You can spend time throughout the week reviewing those verses with them, practicing with them, memorizing them with them. A great part of the Awana ministry. Awana is also designed as a great opportunity for outreach. It's a fun program. Your kids will enjoy the game time. They'll enjoy all the different facets of Awana. And it's also at a time when it's easy to invite friends. A lot of people don't do much on a Sunday evening except hang out at home. And so if you have neighbor kids or friends from school, that's a great program to invite them to and to have them be a part of that with your family. And those are great opportunities for you to really teach your kids about outreach as you invite friends. So it's not just that, oh, hey, you have a great time at Awana, why don't you invite Johnny to come? But it's, hey, let's reach out to Johnny and his family and help him learn more about God and his word and the gospel as you teach your kids that. Awana starts tonight. You can see the map in the back of your booklet. I don't have it on the PowerPoint here. It's color-coded with where those clubs go. I encourage you to be here for that tonight and be on time. If you haven't signed up for that, there's a place in the back of the room that after we're done, you can do that as well. And then our last regular weekly ministry is our children's choirs on Wednesday nights. We have three different children's choirs, a Shouts of Joy choir and a Joy Song and Joyful Sounds. The Shouts of Joy choir is our youngest kids choir. It's from age 4 through kindergarten. Leah K. Gabriel, who's in the back over here, is the director for that. Joy Song is our first and second grade class or choir. Amy Lucky directs that. And then our Joyful Sounds is the third to sixth grade choir with Kirsten Bigelow. And she directs that. All those choirs will perform or participate in the service or different opportunities throughout the year as they sing. And the oldest choir actually does a spring musical as well. It's a great chance for those kids to begin to learn about using their gifts in service for the body. So they learn about worship and music. You know, some kids have more abilities than others, but we'll take them all and we'll make it work. And so they can come and really begin to learn about a way to serve through using their musical gifts. So again, emphasis is a little different than the other ministries, but a great opportunity for them to grow and be a part of the body. Those do start this Wednesday. They go from 7 to 8:30 here at the church. And there's a map on the back of your Sunday evening locations is the Wednesday night locations. You can see where those different choirs meet. I encourage you to be a part of that if that works for your family. Also, throughout the year, we have a variety of other activities. Vacation Bible School took place in June. Great time for not only our kids, but a great opportunity for outreach as well to invite friends. Our next upcoming event is the Countryside Fair. On October 31st, every year, our campus is transformed into a great, fun place for kids to come on that evening, Halloween evening. And so bring your kids to that, plan to come and have a great time with them, and they can get all the candy and a good environment. It's also designed as a tool for you, again, personally to use for outreach, inviting neighbors or friends to come. And it's a great time for your kids to learn about outreach, inviting friends. We'll do some things throughout the campus that emphasize the gospel with those kids so that they're exposed to the truth about who Christ is and their need for him. We also have a variety of other family events. We had our skate night in October, or in August, and some other things like that that we can encourage you to be a part of as well. Look at the back of your booklet. The back section of your booklet is Frequently Asked Questions section. I'm not going to walk through all those with you. You can take some time to read that, but I do want to highlight a couple things. First area there is Frequently Asked Questions about discipline. You know, we do try to maintain a godly discipline in the classrooms. It's important that kids learn the importance of obedience and the importance of submission to authority. And so we hold them to a biblical standard. We do try to keep a realistic expectation of kids. If you have kids or have worked with kids, you know that kids are kids. And they do things sometimes that are just childish. You know, they spill things more often than most of us as adults do. They, you know, can write on things accidentally at the table with their marker and those types of things. And so we know that they're kids and we're going to have fun with them as kids. But we do want to be careful when those things turn into more overt rebellion or sinfulness. And we want to correct them in that. Basically, our expectations for kids, as you see there, are that they respect God and they respect others and they respect the authorities that are in their life. And so those are the things that on an age-appropriate level, we're going to try to encourage with them and hold them to that. You know, our teachers and workers seek to be positive and proactive in maintaining discipline. You know, one of the best ways to keep kids out of trouble is to keep them busy doing things that you want them to do. And so we work hard to have a good class structure, good organization to where things are flowing from activity to activity so that they can enjoy that and benefit from that. We also train our teachers and workers to handle things within the classroom. You know, if it gets to a point where they can't handle it within their classroom, we have directors over each ministry who are then able to address those issues. And then obviously you as parents will bring into that process. There's one question there that's pointed out. I want to point out, when will I as a parent be involved in the discipline process? You know, God's entrusted discipline to you as parents more than he's entrusted it to us as children's ministry workers. And so we want you to be, we don't want to take that role from you. You know, if your child is having any kind of a consistent behavior issue week after week, we're going to initiate talking with you about that and get you involved. If they have any significant issue, you know, if they bite someone or hit someone or something like that, we're going to initiate talking with you about that as well. You know, we want you involved, and don't feel bad if we talk to you about that. It's not that you're like the one bad parent whose kids did something bad today. You know, there's lots of us who have kids that do things that, you know, we'd rather them not do, and we're all in process of learning to deal with that, and no kids are perfect, and so don't think that just because yours did something that you need to feel bad about that. We just want to communicate with you and help you in that, and you can help us by saying, this is what we do at home that helps them not bite people or whatever it is, and we can work through that together so that we handle it well for the sake of those kids. We also want to have a good relationship, open and honest with you about the struggles or challenges that your kids are having within a classroom. But one thing that we're going to be very careful about is talking negatively about your kids in front of your kids. And so when you're picking up that child, if you pick them up and you say, so how did Johnny do today? And maybe we've talked with you about Johnny and the problems that, you know, that he's had with paying attention in the lesson. And maybe he did great that day. We're going to say he did great today paying attention in front of the lesson. We're going to give him a big squeeze and say, Johnny was so focused today and he had his, you know, he sat in his chair the whole time and he was just perfect during the lesson. We loved how attentive he was, and he's going to smile and beam, and you're going to, you know, rub his head and say, good job, son. It's going to be great. We're going to reinforce that. But maybe Johnny also hit somebody over the head with a boat today, right? We're not going to say, but while Johnny's there, we're going to squeeze his neck a little harder and say, but Johnny hit Sally with a boat today. And you're going to say, oh, Johnny did that. No, we're going to be positive about what he did well, but we're not going to talk negatively in front of them, because that's exactly the same kind of reinforcement that talking positively is. And he's going to think, ooh, they noticed that I hit her on the head with a boat. And that's a good thing. You know, I'm going to do that again next week, and then they're going to notice me again, and I'll get to talk to them some more, and it'll be great. And so we're going to be very careful about talking negatively in front of them. But that doesn't mean that we aren't happy to talk with you about those things. We just want to do it in private. And so if you know that teacher, you can catch him in the hall at another time, or if your child is, you know, if it's a situation where your child's not with you when you're with them, then you can ask them those things. Or what I'd really encourage you to do is to get to know your teachers and workers, and then feel free to call them during the week. And that's when you can say, how do you do this week? You know, are there some things that we need to work with them on or her on as we go throughout the week? Things that we can help with. And that's where you can have a more honest, upfront conversation, because that time when you pick your kids up is pretty limited. Also, sometimes particularly in our preschool Sunday school ministry, the person who you're dropping them off with, if they come both hours, will be different than the person you pick them up with. And so you won't have a chance to follow up with that first hour teacher if you pick your kid up after second hour. And so that's where we're developing a good relationship, talking with them outside of class can be very helpful to keep good communication. So that's how we're going to handle discipline. We want to be involved actively with you in that. We want to encourage you in that. And again, don't feel bad that we talk with you about it, because, again, we all need help and encouragement in that. We all have challenges in helping correct our kids. You know, special needs down there under there. If your child has some special needs that we can help minister to them with, then just let us know. We'd love to do whatever we can. Sometimes it's as simple as just letting the teacher know some things that they can do to help with that child in a particular way. Maybe it's having an aide in that class or whatever we need to do. But please let me or one of the ministry directors know. You know, some questions there about child protection. You can look through that. We do care very much for the safety of your children. We always have two adult workers with them at all times that have been approved, done a background check. We're very careful on check-in procedures. We'll talk about that in a minute. You see some things about illness and emergencies and those things you can look through. I want to point out one thing about the snacks and food allergies. You'll see a list there of snacks we generally serve, like juice, crackers, peanut butter, cheese, fruit, dry cereal. If your child is allergic to any of those, you'll have a chance to note that or any other allergy on their sign-in sheet, or you can just note that. We'll write that on their name tag, and we'll note that they have an allergy, and that way we'll be sure to be careful with them. If we're going to serve anything not on that list, any food on a particular morning or evening, we're going to post that outside the door, so when you drop your child off, you'll see that today we're having whatever, and if they're allergic to that, you can just let your teacher know, because we want to be careful to monitor that and to communicate well with that. If it's a primary child, we're going to expect that they know what they're allergic to. So if they, you know, swell up real big, if they eat peanut butter, hopefully they know don't eat peanut butter. And so we're going to count on them for some help. But you can feel free to communicate to the teacher as well any allergies that they might have. You notice the section there just about potty training. There's a potty training card in the back. Some of you are like, woohoo, I'm done with that. I don't have to worry about it. Praise the Lord. Not there yet, but getting there slowly. This is something that just helps us in our Sunday school ministries. We are happy to have kids that are not potty trained in our preschool Sunday school classes. We just want to know where they're at so we can help them as best we can and avoid accidents. And so if you can fill that out this week, drop it off with your kid next week, that would be great. In Awana, we do ask that kids be potty trained before they start coming, which that's for the 3 and 4 year olds. So we don't have the 2 year olds that we do in preschool Sunday school. On the back page there, you'll notice our check-in and check-out procedures. We want to be real clear on this. We're very careful with this. And I know sometimes it's easy as a parent to think, oh, this is so labor-intensive to get our kids and all these things we have to do. But just know that that's for your benefit and blessing. Because if it's a little bit of a challenge for you to get your kid, it's a lot of a challenge for anybody other than you to get their kid. And that's what we want to avoid. We don't want anybody to be able to come and to take a child that's not theirs, or somebody who's not approved to take your son or daughter, check them out. We just want to be so careful to be safe with that. And so you notice a couple rules there. For preschool kids, it's got to be a parent or guardian who checks in the children. It can't be, don't send your third grader with your three-year-old to check them in. It needs to be a parent or guardian who's there. When you check them in, you'll be given a pager that has a number on it. And that's your ticket to get your kid back. And so that's an important thing. It's also how we can get in touch with you if we need to. You'll only be given one of those. So if you have 4 kids, like I do, that are in preschool, you don't have to get 4 pagers, you know, to have like all on your belt. You'll get one, and then you'll take it around to the next class, and you'll show it to them, and they will write down the number from that pager, and then you'll use that to get all those kids back. When you check in, you'll also have the option of circling or noting somebody different to pick that child up. So if mom drops the child off, but dad's going to come pick the child up, we'll circle mom's name as the one who dropped him off, and then we'll circle dad's name as the one who's going to pick him up. That's because if it's anybody different than who checked him in, they've got to be noted on the attendance sheet at the time of check-in. Because there are some situations where, because of whatever legal issues, mom doesn't want dad picking him up or things, and so we just want to be careful with that. And so, again, for most people, it's not an issue, but just know that that's an important thing that we're going to be careful with. So when you come back again, to pick your kids up, it's got to be a designated parent. They got to have the pager. If we know you, if we're related to you, if we like you a lot and you don't have your pager, guess what? We're not going to give you your kid until you bring that pager, because we can't make exceptions, because then the next person in line that we don't know or that we're not related to, or not that we don't like them, but that person, they're going to say, well, you just gave them their kid. Why don't you give me my kid without my pager? And we're going to say, oh, I don't know. And so we just want to be careful and consistent. So have that pager with you when you come and pick up those kids. If you get paged during the service, you'll notice on your map there's a place that's marked Sunday School Office. That's kind of our command center. You can go there if you have multiple kids and find out which is it that needed you and which room to go to. If you just have one child, you can go to that room and see what was needed with your child. But you can always just go to the Sunday School Office there and find out what was needed. If you get paged at the end of a service, if it's 12:20 and the service is over and you get paged, it's probably not that Johnny bit somebody and we need you. It's that, hey, go get your kids because we're ready to go. And so it's just a friendly reminder to go get them. And so if you're paged at the end of the service, don't feel like you got to come to the Sunday School Office. For first and second grade, they have to be checked in by a parent as well, but they don't get a pager. So mom or dad or guardian has to bring that child to the class and sign them in and then come back and get them to be signed out. Third to sixth grade is free release, so they can just show up at class and they'll be dismissed after the end of the service or that particular ministry. We do ask that you be timely in picking up your children. You know, our children's workers love kids. They love the time to spend with them, and they've signed up and volunteered to be there with them. But they've been there with them for a long time, and so they're ready to go. Often they have their own kids that they need to pick up and those things as well. So just a general rule, we're expecting you about 5 minutes after the end of the service or scheduled dismissal time. We understand that it's not always feasible if you've got a lot of kids or whatever, but just try to be timely and considerate of them as you do that. Last thing I want to talk to you about, just share a little bit, is the parent resources that we have for you available in our church. The first thing that we have is our bulletin. Every week you'll find in the bulletin a Kids Corner section that gives you just a snapshot of what those kids have been learning in the Sunday school ministry. Gives you the passage, gives you the main idea, gives you some questions that you can ask of them. That's really helpful for you as parents to be able to follow up with them about what they've been learning. Encourage you to make that a regular part of your day with them, to follow up with them about what they've been learning, even using that throughout the week. Not so much the questions, but go back through the passage with them or talk with them about other things related to that. We also have a website, and I talk a little bit in faith about the website because it's not quite all up there yet, but it will be soon. Basically, all the information that you see in this booklet will always be kept up to date on the website as well as a bunch of other resources. Some things on our website are only available to those who are logged in users of the website. And so if you're a regular part of our church and you have not yet registered, I would encourage you to do that. On the top right part of the website, it says register. Click on that, fill out the information, and you'll receive a username and password. You can then log in, and there's a little thing where you can say, remember me. And you click that, and then every time you go to the website, you're already logged in, and there will be things that magically appear for you that you couldn't see before. And they're cool things, so you want to make sure that you're logged in and that you are registered. One thing, such thing that you will find is on the children's page, and again, there'll be some other pages that will show up in the next couple weeks. You'll find a Sunday school resources page that gives you the schedule for what we're studying in Sunday school. It also gives you a place where you can download those kids' corners, either for the week before or the coming weeks. And hopefully we'll have some other resources available in the coming weeks. I'd love to be able to put things like the coloring pages that we use on there for parents to download and use with their kids throughout the week. I'm trying to work with them on the copyright issues of that and things. But hopefully we can do some stuff like that in the days ahead. So the bulletin website are great resources for you. Also, we do a Parent Talk e-newsletter. If you're a part of our church and we have your email address, we'll send you periodically about once a month a newsletter that has some just parental encouragement for you and training. If I find a great article or part of an article that really was a blessing to me, I'll pass that along to you guys in that newsletter. Also, there'll be instruction about upcoming events, details about transitions in Sunday school ministry or special nights in Awana, those types of things we'll let you know about through that newsletter. There'll also be some opportunities for service. If there's some specific needs that we have, short-term type needs that you could do as parents, we'll let you know. Some types of things, something like this. We have a need for refreshment and decorations. If that's something that you like to do, We'd love to get you plugged in with that. We do workshops for our children's workers, and sometimes we need childcare or meal provided for that. If those are the kinds of things that you as a parent like to do, we would love to get you plugged in, helping us that way. And then we also have a great bookstore upstairs. If you've never... Oh, we have a library, too. We'll do library first. We have a great library. In the back is a sample of some stuff from our library. I encourage you to make use of some of those resources. There's books, videos, all kinds of things that you can get as a family and check out for a couple weeks. And then we have a great bookstore as well. Back in the back is a sample of some of the things that are available there. A lot of great resources there on parenting, as well as a lot of children's books, and we'll continue to get more in related to that. Just a reminder, back there today, and today only, for $5, you can get Everyday Talk. I encourage you to do that if you do not own that book, great book, today and today alone. Also, a couple other things you can look at in the back. You can't buy these back there. You have to look at them back there and then go up to the bookstore, which is by the main entrance. But I'll point out a couple things that are new to the bookstore. We have a couple different children's Bibles for younger kids that would encourage you to consider using. This one is called the Big Picture Bible. Not only does it have big pictures in the Bible, but it gives the big picture of the Bible. Oh, kind of cool. And so it presents the story of what God is doing in history throughout the Bible and into the New Testament as kind of one continuous story, which is really helpful for kids because most kids think, you know, there's a bunch of little stories in the Bible and they don't really have any clue how David fits in with Abraham, but they're cool stories and so I like them. And so this helps kind of put it all together in one picture of what God is doing. So great for younger kids, 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds, really good resource that you can use with them at home to give them some good instruction. Even older kids would enjoy it, and you can read through it pretty quickly. This one is called 365 Bible Stories for Young Hearts. It's geared at a little older kid, so I think it says 5 and up. We've used it with our 3- and 4-year-old, and they enjoy it as well, but more that kindergarten-type age, probably. And what this one does is it goes through 365 days worth of readings, going through pretty much all of the narrative sections of Scripture and some that are not, and it takes each chapter or story and just kind of simplifies it down to a kid's level with pictures, but it gives a very thorough treatment of the stories of the Bible. So you can walk through with your children, you know, all the different stories that are there and help piece those together as you read through the Bible. Great for helping kids just get in the habit of reading consistently through the Scriptures. A lot of stories, really helpful for parents. You know, it's been good for me even reading through this to say, wow, you know, I didn't remember that story. I didn't remember those details of things. And so really helpful tool for you as parents. So it goes into a great deal. I think there's even like 2 or 3 days from Leviticus. I mean, your kids are learning about Leviticus. That's cool stuff. So good resource that I encourage you to look at as well. A lot of other great things back there, but I'm not going to take the time to encourage you to get all of those today. But I think those are some helpful ones. I'll also, in that newsletter, I'll send out some new resources. As we get new things in the bookstore, I'll point those out for you so that you can be aware of that. Last resource for you, as parents, one of the best resources that we have available for you is the opportunity to be involved in children's ministries with your kids. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do as parents to know what's going on in the children's ministries and to be able to interact with your kids about those things is to serve with them. Maybe not in the same class, but in a similar ministry. And so we would love to have you involved with us so that it gives you a common experience with your kids and just a special platform for talking with them about things. If you've been at Awana that night, or you've been in the Sunday school ministry, then you're going to be all that much more equipped to talk with them about those things. And we also give some great training and equipping for shepherding children, which can be applied in the classroom and in the home. Variety of particular needs that we have looking forward towards the fall that I'd encourage you to consider. We still have a couple classes that need second-hour preschool shepherds. We'd love to get you plugged in, serving that way. That's with our second-hour preschool ministry. Not the intense preparation of first hour, although there's some weekly preparation, but it's shepherding those kids in the homeroom time and then taking them to a variety of stations. If you'd be interested in learning more about that, Brian and Kirsten Anderson are our preschool directors. They're over here. They'll be at the preschool table, and we'd love to visit with you more about that opportunity. Also, we could use use some Wednesday morning nursery and preschool workers during our ladies' Bible study, and you can talk to Candace over at the nursery table if you would have an interest in that starting up in a week and a half. We'd love to get you plugged in if that would be If you'd be available and willing to do that, need a couple more of those. And then also could use a Shouts of Joy assistant. That's our youngest children's choir working with Leah Kay. You don't have to be musical. She is. And so she sings. You just help keep the kids, singing and hand out instruments and all those kinds of good things. So talk to her if you would be available for that. Also a variety of other opportunities and needs, things like Awana game people if you like doing that kind of stuff. So just encourage you as we wrap up. We're going to give you some time to interact with the different workers and leaders that are here at the different tables. You can go around and talk with them, visit with them, see how you might benefit from them as a family with your kids' involvement, and even how you could be potentially involved with them as well. All right? Any questions that you guys have about the things that I've presented? I hope it's been helpful. I hope you'll take the time to look through this booklet as well, just to fill out some of the details. Look forward to being involved with you guys and getting to know you. It's such a joy to serve at a church that cares about children's ministry and to serve with families who are desiring to be faithful in raising their kids. So, any questions? All right. Well, I'd love to visit with you afterwards if you think of things. And we have plenty of food left, so I encourage you to grab some donuts for lunch and encourage you to visit with those children's workers that are here today. They'll be in the different areas by their stations. You can pick up the preschool class assignments at the preschool table and the primary teachers. There's a list of that over at the primary table, and then registration at Awana, and any questions that you have about children's choir or those other things. All right. Why don't I pray for us and just thank the Lord for the time, and then we'll be finished for the day. God, thank you for this time that we can spend together. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through the scriptures, and you've entrusted to us as parents and as children's workers the joy of communicating your glory to the next generation. Pray that we'd be faithful to do that, Lord, both through the things that we say, the way that we teach, but even more so through our example and our informal interaction with kids. Lord, I pray that we would communicate to them your glory and greatness and your grace in Christ through the way that we live on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our families, strengthen our church as the families are strengthened. And Lord, might we just see a generation raised up that knows you and loves you, one who is committed to you and passionate about serving you. We love you and give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.